Nobel for Chemistry for his work with DNA, the second Stanford recipient named this week. Kornberg's father is also a Nobel laureate. He won his for medicine in 1959. Two top Kmart executives have been ordered to stand trial on charges they misled investors prior to the company's bankruptcy filing 4 years ago. The Wall Street Journal reports that the U.S. Customs Department will abandon its recent policy of seizing prescription and drugs mailed to Americans from Canada. Lawmakers said the policy, which will now end on Monday, was particularly harmful to America's elderly. Another recall of Sony laptop computer batteries, this one by Fujitsu, which says it's calling back a 250,000 notebook PC batteries. That brings to more than 7.5 million the number of Sony batteries recalled in the past several weeks. And the U.S. automakers' list of the most popular vehicles sold in September shows the Ford F-Series pickup truck, number one, followed by the Chevrolet Silverado. Gold is trading at $568.50 a barrel this hour, an ounce this hour. Light sweet crude oil is up 19 cents a barrel, trading at $58.87. Another midday record on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial is up 49 points from yesterday's record close, trading this hour at 11,776. NASDAQ is up 23 at 2266. The S&P 500 up 6 at 1340. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I believe I first met Congressman Mark Foley in 2001. Could have been 02, but I'm pretty sure it was 01. I had just started working as an attorney for a high-ranking Democrat in Congress, and as is common as an attorney staffer, I worked on a number of issues with a number of different members of Congress. And while it is true I worked more with Democrats than Republicans, I certainly had occasion to work with Congressman Mark Foley. Now, I remember him being very friendly toward me, very friendly, more friendly than the average congressman would be. Of course, I knew he was gay. We all knew he was gay. All of Congress knew he was gay. Anyone that says they didn't know obviously was not listening, because all the staffers knew and all the members of Congress knew. And so it was kind of interesting watching him flirt with me. I later told a colleague about it, and the colleague said, "Well, Mark, don't think you're special. He flirts with everyone." And indeed, that was true. And I learned that I was definitely not special. Mark Foley had a tendency to flirt with every young male staffer around. That was just sort of what he did, much as Strom Thurmond used to flirt with all the young females. Now, Strom Thurmond's case, it was even more disgusting, I guess, because here you had a man who was in his late 90s, I think over 100 at some point, and he would literally reach out and grab a woman's breast. And I was amazed that they took it, but a lot of the Republican staffers understood that that's sort of what you had to do to work for Strom Thurmond. Later on, of course, after he died, we found out that he had raped a black maid in his home. And I say raped because not only was she a child of 16, but because in the 1920s in South Carolina, a black woman didn't refuse her boss's sexual advances if she wanted to stay alive in the South. So that was just sort of who Mark Foley was. Now, to be clear, I did not know that he was giving the same attention to those who were under 18. I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I certainly would have told someone. But it was certainly known, well known, throughout Congress that this was a man who was not only gay, but constantly flirting with young people. And also that he was in the closet. I mean, one of the most interesting things, of course, is that this was a person who, because Republicans do not allow openly gay candidates to be there, there are a number of Republicans in the closet. In fact, I know a number of them right now. And I won't give you their names. If you ask me why, we can talk about it on the air. But there are a number of members in the closet. I know of at least one Democratic member of Congress who is in the closet. And it was just sort of something that we knew. My colleague told me a very funny story, in fact, of one day when Congresswoman Louise Slaughter of New York was on the Hill and offering a bill. And if you look at the House of Representatives, you note that there's a lot of chairs. There's 435 chairs. It's a very large chamber. But unlike the Senate, where each of the senators has their own desk assigned to them. The House of Representatives isn't like that. The House of Representatives instead has just a bunch of seats, 435, and you can sit wherever you want. In fact, about the only time you'll ever see it full is when, you know, you have a State of the Union address or something like that. But so most of the time when you work in Congress, unless there's a vote or a State of the Union address, that room is fairly empty. There may be 10, 15, maybe 20 milling on the floor at any one time. But most of the time, most of the business is done to a fairly empty floor. After all, this is a Congress that generally only worked on Wednesdays and Thursdays anyway, just 2 days a week. So if you wanted to get something done on Tuesday, for example, you go in and you maybe drop a bill or give a speech, and no one's really there except C-SPAN and the cameras. Well, my colleague, and this is already dating back 5, 6, 7 years, saw Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, and she was on the floor, and she was introducing her bill. And at the time, Congresswoman Slaughter had a very attractive male staffer who was helping her on this particular bill. He was quite good-looking, quite young, though certainly an adult, and he was helping her out. Well, Mark Foley walks in, and as I said, at that time there may be 10 people on the floor. There's 400-plus empty chairs. He makes a beeline toward the Democratic side of the aisle, which a lot of Republicans didn't do, sat down right next to Congresswoman Slaughter's attractive male staffer, and started talking to him. At which point, Congresswoman Slaughter, who was in the middle of introducing a bill on C-SPAN, turned to Mark Foley and said, "Mark, will you stop hitting on my staffer? He has work to do." I don't know that Congresswoman Slaughter realized at the time that her words were recorded on C-SPAN, but my colleagues saw them. We have C-SPAN on in the videos on in the various offices when we work there, and he just thought that was hilarious. But it just goes to show that everyone in Congress knew, both sides of the aisle, that this was a man who liked to flirt with young men. And I think that, well, I think most people really didn't think that much of it. But we know that the pages did. We know that as early as 1995, we know now this now, and I did not know this, obviously, when I worked in Congress. We know that in 1995, for example, a page was warned, stay away from Mark Foley, a young male page. And by 2001, all of the male pages were warned regularly in their class, in their pages. You know, they'd be get together, they would be warned, stay away from Mark Foley. And these instant messages occurred in 2003. So if it was widespread knowledge in Congress that this was a man who liked to hit on young men, at least among the pages, it was well known that he liked to hit on, well, boys, men younger than 18, boys, kids, 16, 17 years old. And that was common knowledge. And when you ask yourself, why didn't the Republicans do anything? Why didn't Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, or John Boehner, the leader of the Republicans, do anything? You have to keep this in mind. Let's talk about what they knew. Did they know he was gay? Yes. Nothing wrong with that. Did they know he was closeted? Yes. Something, I think, a little wrong with that. I think that closeted gay politicians are often subject to blackmail and other such things. I think if you're open and out, like Congressman Barney Frank, you have nothing to fear. But if you're in the closet, well, then I think a lot of gay congressmen do. I think there's a concern there. But I'm not outing them. And I'll, again, if you want to call me and ask me why, we'll talk about that. But so they knew he was a closeted gay man. I'm sure they knew he was hitting on other men. It was, as I said, common knowledge on the Hill. They probably didn't know that he was hitting on pages. But when they got that email, the one asking for the picture and talking about working out and talking about who was in shape and who wasn't, I think that raised enough of a red flag, given what everyone else knew in Congress, to investigate further. And all they had to do was call a few pages into their office to find out the open secret that apparently had been an open secret for 10 years among the pages, which was that, well, we know that Congressman Mark Foley went beyond flirting. In fact, we now know from the instant messages that ABC News has reported that he tried to solicit sex. He tried to, indeed, get them to come over. There's one email where the kid says, "Hey, I'm not 18 yet. I won't be 18 till February," and Congressman Foley encourages him to go to dinner with him, and hang out afterwards. And the kid says, you know what, I need to wait until February when he's 18. We also know, of course, Congressman Foley got into some pretty graphic stuff talking about the size of sexual organs and masturbation techniques with kids. Now, there are a lot of different angles here, I think, to talk about. There are the angles of, first of all, what's a crime and what's not a crime, and we'll go there. The question of what it is proper for a member of Congress to do with someone who's working for him, with a page, with someone who, a kid, who really doesn't feel that he can confront a member of Congress. And then there's, of course, the question of what the Republican leadership knew and what they did to conceal these facts in order to keep what was a safe seat in Florida. So there are a lot of things to talk about here, and I want to encourage everyone to call in and give me your two cents, either on my stories or any of the other things that we want to talk about. Again, to me, this raises so many issues. It raises the issue of who Mark Foley was. And I don't believe for a minute, by the way, this, oh, alcohol drove him to it? Come on. Or he was molested when he was a boy? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But did he like it when he was molested? And if he didn't, why is he molesting other boys? And none of this, oh, well, he never touched them. It's not for lack of trying. It's, if you've read those instant messages, you know it's not for lack of trying. So there's the question of Mark Foley and his responsibility. There's the question of, well, my responsibility and others of us that work all the time with closeted gay members of Congress, and whether that matters or not. And then there's, of course, the question of what he did. What's interesting is that what he did is likely a crime because Mark Foley made it a crime. As the head of the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, he passed laws that made such things a crime. In the District of Columbia, the age of consent is 16. In fact, it's 16 in a number of states, probably a third of the states in the United States. In some states, it's 18. But Mark Foley made it a federal law to solicit sex from a minor across state lines. He actually made his own conduct illegal. And what does it say about the Republicans, who is supposedly the party of family values, the party of gay bashing, the party that wants to deny equal rights to gay people, that they covered up a story involving children? What does it say about their morality and what their goals are? Are their goals truly family values, even the ones they profess? Or are their goals to keep a Republican majority in Congress? Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Want to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well,
Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. When Denny Hastert first heard about this, of course, the way it worked was this. Many of the pages, including the ones, by the way, who did most of the instant messages, did not report them. You could argue that they were embarrassed or they maybe some of them wanted the contact. I don't know. Or maybe they just didn't feel like they could get angry or report on a member of Congress. I mean, these are 16 and 17-year-olds, people who are awed by the very sight of a member of Congress and didn't feel like they could tell on him. In any case, one of the pages did talk to his member of Congress. This would be Congressman Alexander in Louisiana, who reported it to, not to immediately to the person in charge of ethics or the person in charge of pages, either of them, but instead to Tom Reynolds of New York, a congressman out of Buffalo, Republican, who's in charge of the Republican Congressional Committee. In other words, the guy in charge of politics. Alexander decided that he's not going to go to the person in charge of pages, which is the guy you go to if you wanted to protect children. Instead, he went to the guy in charge of politics, which is the guy you go to if you want to protect politics. Reynolds then turned over and told it to the leaders of the House, Boehner and Hastert, and they referred it to John Shimkus. He is in charge of the page board, but the page board consists of three individuals, two Republicans and a Democrat, like all committees in the House, which is a majority Republican institution. The majority on the committee were Republican, but there was a Democratic member, Dale Kildee of Michigan. Shimkus didn't tell Dale Kildee, didn't tell even the other Republican member about it. What he did do was he went up to Foley and said, hey, Foley, stay away from this man. You're making him uncomfortable. And that was it. Now, when Hastert was approached and asked what he did, he said he's just learning there's a problem. He didn't know there was anything wrong. And then Tom Reynolds, who's in a close race himself, reminded Denny Hastert that well, he had told him, at which point Hastert had to admit that, maybe he did. Maybe he just doesn't remember very clearly, right? So Hastert, after initially lying about it, now admits that, I guess he was told, and immediately declines all interviews with any reputable reporters. Doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to give the details, but he is willing to go on right-wing radio. He is willing to go on the propaganda network, and so he does, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. And not just them. Hold on, I got a list here, because he went on so many. I really need to give you the complete list. Let's see. He went on Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Hugh Hewitt, Lars Larson, Roger Hedgecock, even Neil Bortz. Wow. You know, he went on more right-wing hosts than there are liberal hosts in existence. Because, you know, that's what talk radio is all about. And Rush Limbaugh says to Hastert, Democrats are making it look like you're more interested in holding the House rather than protecting children. Giving Hastert an out to describe what was going on, Hastert says, yeah. Limbaugh says, I like what you did yesterday, asking for an investigation. But what investigation is Hastert asking for, right? He's not asking for the House to appoint an independent investigator. He's not asking for the House Ethics Committee to appoint someone who could subpoena everyone to find out what was going on. Because you have to understand there's two separate issues here. One is whether crime has been committed, and that's something that should go to the FBI and the Justice Department. It may well be, in fact, I think it's likely, that Foley's bill has caused what he did to be a crime. But the other issue is the morality of the sexual harassment in the House of a child, of a member of Congress coming on to a child, whether that child be straight or gay. If they're gay, they're probably just exploring their sexuality. And I think it's better if the 16-year-old does it with a fellow 16-year-old rather than with a 52-year-old man. There are problems here, even if they're not legal problems. And, of course, Hastert doesn't want an independent investigation. He is still resisting, still, even with the Washington Times, the Mooney conservative newspaper calling for Hastert's resignation, he is still resisting an independent investigation. And so I think it's important to remind us what has been done in the past. Back when the Democrats controlled Congress. And I've seen on all the websites the complaints talking about scandals in the past. So let's talk about the last page scandal. It happened in 1982. In fact, there's a great article on this by Joseph Califano. It's in the Washington Post, but it's in lots of op-ed pages across. And he talks about what happened in 1982 when you had two former pages come on CBS News and claim that they had been harassed, that there had been advances by men on them, and one, in fact, claimed that he had relationships with three men and actually sent him a bunch of prostitutes. Within 1 week of that CBS broadcast, the entire House had authorized its ethics committee, and I'm quoting from Joe Califano here, to conduct a full investigation of allegations of, quote, sexual misconduct, illicit drug distribution and use, and offers of preferential treatment in exchange for sexual favors or drugs by members, officers, or employees of the House, unquote. That's a pretty broad mandate for the ethics committee. It's not even just members of Congress. It's also their employees. And the House Speaker, Tip O'Neill, Minority Leader Robert Michael, together put together an ethics committee led by Ohio Democrat Lou Stokes, South Carolina Republican Floyd Spence, and they said they could go wherever they wanted. They appointed Joe Califano, an ex-prosecutor, highly respected member of Lyndon Johnson's cabinet, and said, the integrity of the House is at stake. You do whatever you need to do. You can investigate everyone. Nothing will be hidden from you. You can do a full investigation. You can subpoena everything. Well, the first thing they found, interestingly, were the two pages recanted. They said that CBS had put words in their mouth. They said under oath that they lied. But they still interviewed 2,000 past and present pages, adults who supervised and taught them, congressional staffers, and House members. They issued scores of subpoenas. And what did they find? Well, no widespread sexual misconduct, but they did find two relationships with pages. One between Congressman Daniel Crane, Republican of Illinois, who had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old female page, and Gary Studs of Massachusetts, who had sexual relationships with a 17-year-old male page. Gary Studs was a closeted gay man. In fact, there were no openly gay people in Congress at that time. They reported it to Tip O'Neill. They said, get it out, get the news out. The four Democratic and Republican members recommended censorship. Both of them were censured. Crane resigned his seat. Studs came out to his constituents in Massachusetts, reminded them that the conduct that he had done, which was having sex with a 17-year-old in the District of Columbia, was not illegal and was consensual and was reelected for many years to come. I've seen many people talk about the case of Gary Studs. But the point is that the Democrats in the House didn't hide it. They immediately investigated it. They let it go where it lay, and they even called for censorship. And the people of Gary Studd's district decided to reelect him. They also looked into drug use and found three members of Congress used drugs and went after them too. The point is that when you have responsible leadership in control, these things are looked into. Yes, yes, these things happen. There's no question about it. But responsible leadership looks into it. What does irresponsible leadership do? Well, look at Congressman Ray LaHood of Illinois, a well-respected Republican congressman on both sides of the aisle. What did he call for? Abolishing the PAGE program. You see, my friends, we cannot trust members of Congress in the company of adolescents because they can't control themselves. That's what he called for, abolishing the PAGE program? I don't remember anyone after, you know, Lewinsky calling for the abolishment of the intern program. And let's all be clear, Monica Lewinsky was a consenting adult at age 22. And no, I'm not at all condoning what Bill Clinton did because I think it's sexual harassment. I do think there's a difference, though, when it's a PAGE working directly for you and under you and an intern who's, you know, way down in the food chain and probably couldn't get fired if he wanted to. Maybe he could. But no, it's a problem. Sexual harassment is a problem. It's a serious problem. And when it's a 16-year-old, it's far more serious. I mean, these kids, they look, as I said, on members of Congress as some kind of demigods here. They are coming to Washington because they believe in the political system. They believe in America. They want to make a difference. And what are they to do when their boss starts asking them sex questions? It's a real problem, folks. And, you know, it's Matt Drudge blames the victims. I mean, Matt Drudge went on air and said it's the 16-year-old's fault. He was leading Congressman Foley on. I thought that was pretty wild of Drudge to blame the victim. But what if he was leading Foley on? Shouldn't the 52-year-old man know better than to talk about having sex with a 16-year-old? And don't give me this, oh, well, you know, he never actually had sex with him. It's not like he didn't try. Have you read those instant messages? Foley was soliciting sex, which is why I think it is a criminal act. It is a criminal act to solicit sex across state lines with someone under 18. And as I said, if there's anyone that made this law and is at fault for it, it's Congressman Foley himself. Let me go to Alice from California. Alice, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Mark.
Hello. Welcome.
I got through to you now a second time.
You did. Congratulations.
I hope that means I'm no longer thought to be a terrorist.
Well, I've never thought you to be a terrorist. What's your comment on this stuff?
It sounds like many Republicans that didn't care about all the lies or even the wars or even about Jeff Gannon. They are really mad about Tom Foley and the fact that the House leaders knew and did nothing about it.
I think so, too. By the way, his name is Mark Foley. Tom Foley was the former Democratic Speaker. I just don't want you to confuse the two of them. But I think they are mad because a lot of them believe, a lot of them are fundamentalist Christians. They believe in actually very restrictive laws against gay people, to actually treat them as second-class citizens, and to see that the Republicans, who they thought were with them in, you know, persecuting gays, not only knew about Foley being gay, but much more severe, knew that he was hitting on children and did nothing about it. I think they're starting to see that this is a Republican Congress that cares more about staying in power than about anything else.
Yeah, I think
so. I think you're right, and I think many of them may stay home in November.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Thanks for your call, Alice. I appreciate it.
All right.
If anyone else wants to call in, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's lots more to talk about here. Hey, sex scandals only come around once in a while, so we will get back to Iraq and North Korea and all the news of the world. But let's talk about this, because I think in many ways it typifies what's going on in a Republican Congress that has always cared more about maintaining power than what's best for Congress or for even the pages that work there. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cent per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
Ready? Not. Ready? Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready? But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way. You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready? Not.
Ready.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking, of course, about the Congressman Mark Foley sex scandal. Congressmen are very good about protecting their own. The members of Congress, particularly the Republican Party, are very good about protecting their own. Remember when Tom DeLay, of course, was indicted. And what did Hastert do? He immediately changed the rules. And said, if you're indicted, you can still be leading the House. Not a problem. And then when the Ethics Committee of the House voted to condemn Tom DeLay 3 times, Hastert had an easy answer. Replace the members of the House Ethics Committee, which he did. When Jack Abramoff's scandal was on the loose and Hastert was pushed to change lobbying rules to make it tougher for lobbyists to give bribes to members of Congress, he backed off. He didn't do anything. And Randy Duke Cunningham, he seemed surprised when he pleaded guilty to accepting millions of dollars in bribes. Heck, Bob Ney of Ohio, who's also pleaded guilty to corruption, is still in the House. He hasn't resigned. Hastert hasn't sought his expulsion. Why not? Hasn't someone who's admitted, who has pled guilty to taking bribes, shouldn't that person be expelled from the House? Hastert wasn't interested. So it shouldn't be a surprise for anyone what happened with Mark Foley. I mean, look at Bob Ney. Pled guilty to taking bribes, hasn't been expelled from the House. And what's interesting is Hastert originally denies. He says, I don't know anything about this. John Boehner, number two, when asked, says he talked about it with Hastert. Reynolds, the head of the political arm who was told by Alexander, hope you're getting all these names straight here, about this, also said he talked to Hastert. So Boehner was then asked, but Hastert said you didn't talk to him, and Boehner, falling on his sword and lying like any good Republican should, says, oh, okay, well, I hadn't talked to Hastert then. Then, after Hastert admitted having talked to Boehner and Reynolds, Boehner changed his story yet again and said, oh, yes, yeah, oh, yeah, I did talk to Hastert. It's so much fun watching them try to get their lies straight. I mean, I'm really glad the press is pressing them, and quickly, because if they all got in a room, they could, you know, get their story straight. I have to admit, there's a certain joy in watching them fumble. But what are they doing? They're blaming the victims, right? Foley is blaming it on alcohol and his claim that he was molested when he was a kid. Matt Drudge is blaming it on the victims. He says it's the 16-year-old's fault for leading the congressman on. Poor, innocent, 52-year-old, 13-year member of Congress just couldn't do anything about that evil, malevolent 16-year-old page who obviously was tricking him into talking about sex. Come on. Even from Matt Drudge, come on. Of course, all you have to do is read the instant messages and you can see who brings up sex and who responds in an embarrassing way, but sometimes a truthful way, about some very specific sexual things. Now, Hastert has a different person to blame. He blames, get this, the parents of the page. Apparently the parents of the page that alerted Alexander, the congressman from Louisiana, said that, you know, they didn't want it to go anywhere. They really didn't want it investigated. And so they honored the parents' wishes. Well, I'm sorry. You don't honor the parents' wishes when you think there might be inappropriate solicitation of sex among pages. And you don't do it for the same reason that you don't honor a rape victim, as awful as it is, when she says, I don't want to prosecute because I'm afraid. And the reason you don't do it at some point has nothing to do with either the rape victim or the page in Louisiana who called Foley's conduct 666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666666 It's about protecting others. The reason you prosecute those that commit domestic violence or rape or those that molest children is to protect others. And we know now it was an open secret among the pages. They were warned as early as 95. One of them was. In 01, 2001, the entire class was warned. They all knew. And all Denny Hastert had to do, all his staff had to do, were talk to the pages. How hard was that? I'm not talking full-scale FBI investigation. How hard was it to go and to talk to the pages? To sit down with three or four or six of them and say, have you heard any rumors about Mark Foley? Is he bugging anybody? Again, even Denny Hastert doesn't have to do it. Just one of his young staffers could do it. One who works with the pages. I'm sure they would have told him the truth. And they would have known about this years ago. Before dozens of pages were harassed by this guy. It wasn't that hard to do. And it reminds me, I have to say, a lot of what the Catholic Church did when the same concerns were brought to the Catholic Church. They were more concerned about protecting their priests than they were about protecting the children. They were more concerned about scandal than they were about the kids. And that was the problem with the Catholic Church. It goes beyond the priest who's doing the act or Mark Foley who's doing the act. It's a question of the institution and whether or not it believes that children who come from all walks of life and want to see how Congress works can be protected from the sexual advances of a member of Congress. Why wasn't it looked into? Well, it wasn't looked into, and I think we all know why. Because they didn't want the scandal. And the irony is, if they had looked into it a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been that much of a scandal. Look at what Tip O'Neill did, the Democrats, right? They did it in 82. They did a full-scale investigation. They found out that the two initial pages were not telling the truth. But they found two consensual acts, one with a female page, one with a male page. Both members of Congress were censured. And they acted within a week with a full investigation. The Republicans don't want to do that because they care more about staying in power than they do about protecting children. It's a basic thing. Look at what George Bush did, right? Look at what his advisor did. Look at what Tony Snow did, his propaganda mouthpiece. The press secretary says it was just a few naughty emails until he found that a lot of Republicans were actually more upset about it than a few naughty emails. And so George Bush then said, condemned Foley's behavior but praised Hastert, but then carefully refused to take questions over whether or not he thinks Hastert should resign. That's Bush playing it careful. Republicans protect themselves. And that, I think, is what maybe, just maybe, those that have been supporting this Republican Congress for so long are finally starting to see. There may be Republican principles you support. You may support, low taxes, smaller government. But, of course, this Congress has led to the biggest government in American history. You may support even subsidies for oil companies. You may support having everyone and their six-year-old own a gun. You may support persecuting gay people. But whatever one of these Republican principles you support, you should realize that the people who are in Congress, the Republicans in power, including the President of the United States, care more about staying in power than any of these principles, which none of which I agree with. The Republicans in power are all about staying in power. The reason George W. Bush is president of the United States has nothing to do with his ideals or his wishes to change the country. It has to do with the fact that he was the son of a former president, and he wanted to beat dad at his own game. This is a guy who likes competition, but doesn't care so much for big ideas. The guy that doesn't like nation building, but decided he'd let his father's advisors tell him to go into Iraq because, after all, his father screwed up there and he was going to finish the job. This is King George. These are his minions. These are the people we need to kick out in November. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they?
throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the president of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free? I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. When a sex scandal goes on in Washington, everyone is quick to blame. And, of course, the Republicans blame the Democrats. It's the Democrats' fault. Now, this is really interesting because, of course, the Republicans never alerted the Democrats to the problem. Everyone knew, as I knew, that Mark Foley liked to hit on young men. But only the Republicans knew that he liked to hit on boys as well. And when Shimkus, the head of the Page system, was alerted, Congressman Shimkus, he didn't tell the Democrat, who was supposed to oversee the Pages as well, Dale Kildee, about it. So he didn't tell the Democrats about it, and now they want to blame the Democrats. We hear Denny Hastert in right-wing radio talk about the timing of this right before the election. Well, here's an idea, Speaker of the House Hastert. If you don't like the timing right before the election, why didn't you more than a year ago, when you first knew there were problems, do an investigation? It would have come out in the spring of 05, and it wouldn't have been a problem at all. But they're blaming the Democrats. In essence, what they're saying is the Pages, you shouldn't have spoken out now. You should have kept quiet. Just, you know, take a little bit more harassment for just a few more months until after the election, and then it's okay to talk about it. And Ray LaHood wants to abolish the Page program. And Matt Drudge blames the Pages themselves. And most Republicans, and I see on the chat board, they're just going to take the attention off. They're going to talk about Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. And they're going to talk about Gary Studs and Phil Crane and Barney Frank. Well, all right. I know it's to take attention off. And I know these things happened many, many years ago. But let's quickly go through them. Monica Lewinsky was an adult. Barney Frank had a prostitute in his home. That's true, a gay prostitute. But, you know, it wasn't sexual harassment. It wasn't even a Page. It wasn't someone that worked for him at the house. And then we have back in 1983 the example I gave you. It's been 23 years, of Crane and Studs. Both of them were censured by Democratic leaders that acted quickly. You know, we don't have to go back 23 years. All we have to do is look at Jefferson of Louisiana, Congressman William Jefferson, the guy who had thousands of dollars in his freezer. As soon as Nancy Pelosi found out about that, she stripped him of all his committee assignments. And he complained. He said, well, wait, I haven't been found guilty yet. She said, I've seen enough. You're stripped. Don't argue with me. That's how Democrats respond to corruption. It's not that corruption doesn't occur among Democrats. Of course it does. It's not that sex scandals don't occur among Democrats. Of course they do. But Democrats act quickly to distance themselves and to investigate. Instead, Republicans want these long investigations because they hope that by the time you notice, Heck, the press will have moved on. That's what they did with the bribery scandals, right? They said, we need to really investigate what Abramoff has done. So they never pass a lobbying bill. Bob Ney is still in Congress. Foley blames alcohol. Demon rum, right? It's all the fault of vodka. Well, I'm sorry. I think alcohol may allow you to release your inhibitions and do things you wouldn't ordinarily do, but I don't think alcohol is to blame, Mark Foley. His lawyer, and I love watching lawyers lie for their clients because, some lawyers, and I am a lawyer, but I got to tell you something. If my client tells me something that I believe to be a lie, I don't tell it to the press. But Foley's lawyer, David Roth, said, well, all these instant messages, every one of them was done while he was intoxicated. But he was always sober when doing his business in the 12 years he served in Congress. Okay, lawyer Roth, how does that explain the fact that Foley sent these text messages while on the floor of the House voting? Oops. Was he drunk or not drunk? You tell me, Mr. Lawyer. You want to get a new client? The problem goes beyond Mark Foley. What's interesting, and hasn't come out a lot in the news, and I'd like to see a lot of more people focus on, is when Shimkus was asked about the Page scandal, he said there are a handful of other members we're watching closely. What? Handful of other members you're watching closely? How many are in a handful? Well, I have to say at least three, right? Four, five, seven? You're telling me there could be 3 to 7 sexual predators in Congress right now that you're investigating? Here's an idea, Republicans. Set up an investigation, do what Tip O'Neill did, scour the House, and find out what's going on, and let the American people know. We did know about Foley. We knew he was gay. We didn't know he was a pedophile. Or at least going after young, I don't know, I should call him a pedophile because they're a post-adolescent, going after 16, 17-year-old boys. We didn't know that. What's interesting, though, is that in Florida, there was an article printed and about whether he was gay, and Foley tried very, very hard to keep it from printing, but it largely kept him out of the Senate race. Let me make a broader suggestion here. I do not in any way absolve Mark Foley of what he did. But I would venture to say that it is Republican prejudice against gay people that causes some of these problems. We have a party that believes in outlawing stable, monogamous relationships between gay people. They believe in punishing gay people who are true to their partners, denying them health care, not allowing them to visit each other in hospitals, taxing them heavily when they try to will property to each other. There's, in Virginia and in many states across the nation, there's legislation to not just prevent gay people from getting married, but to deny them any sort of rights that other Americans enjoy. So Republicans are committed to treating gay people as second-class citizens. And when you do that, and it's true in the Army, we've done a lot of shows on some of the best Arabic translators in our country happen to be gay and were thrown out of the military because our Republicans believe that it's better to have hundreds of Americans killed by Al-Qaeda than to have their intercepts translated by a gay man. Their commitment to bigotry is greater than their commitments to American lives. And so what do you have? You have a number of members of Congress in the House and the Senate. And I should tell you that every closeted gay member in Congress I know, save one, is a Republican, one is a Democrat. And what are they doing? They're living their lives in the closet in fear of being blackmailed. And I did an entire show on this. You folks may remember a while back, it's in my archives with Barney Frank, on when it's appropriate to out members of Congress. There's a large debate in the gay community about that. And they decided that basically they only out them when they do particularly evil anti-gay acts. Now, maybe that's not right, the right decision. When they do the normal evil Republican anti-gay acts, they're not. It's only when they sort of take a leadership interest that the gay community outs them. And it's interesting that the gay community is so responsible and so kind to these closeted people when certainly the religious right is not. But I think at the heart of it, it goes to the hypocrisy and what this hypocrisy leads to. I mean, Foley was the head. He was the co-chair and founder of the exploited children, missing children group. He passed the very laws that are likely to land him in jail. What is it that causes someone to be so hypocritical? Let me suggest that it's precisely the pain and agony by a party that insists that gay people lead a second-class existence that causes some people to hate themselves so much that they act out on others. That instead of saying, well, I don't care what society thinks, I'm going to be open, I'm going to be honest, I don't care about bigotry, I'm going to live my life, even if it's in danger of my life, as we know it is in places like Wyoming. Instead, they say, I'm going to pretend. I'm going to pretend to be straight, and I'll just seek any sexual outlet I can, whether it be with a prostitute, whether it be with a 16-year-old boy. Look, folks, if the Republicans would be a little more tolerant to their fellow human beings, to their gay Americans, I think we would find less closeted gay people and more people openly living their lives in monogamous relationships like they should. This is Mark Levine. Oh, tune in tomorrow for a discussion of gun control, but for now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yeah, baby. Here we are. Middle of the week. Hump day. Glad to have all of you along with us here on the Guy James Show today. Hope we have a good show for you today. You know, it just occurred to me a couple of hours ago. Hey, we got a radio show to do today. I was sitting around reading a bunch of books that they... That's really not true. I spend more than 2 hours a day preparing for the show. I really do. But I got a big batch of books in this morning from publishers, and so I was looking them over. Always good to get the latest books in. Got the all the latest books. And, gosh, we got quite a library here by now. If you like political books, we got them. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Welcome you to give us a call, 866-546-5254. Much to talk about this afternoon, a whole lot to talk about, and we hope you will join us. Always makes for a better show if you do some of the talking rather than me doing it all. So 866-546-5254, and welcome from the blue waters and sandy beaches and still very warm water, I might add, from the Gulf of Mexico, about a half mile from my house here. Water this morning was 86 degrees, so still quite warm, but they say that the hurricane season doesn't have much in store for us yet, knock on wood. We hope that we don't get anything yet this year, but it's been a quiet year, and that's the way we like it. They say maybe only one or two more named storms, and maybe only one more hurricane, and it won't hit land. So music to our ears in this area. Maybe our insurance won't double up again. I should say quadruple up again in my particular case, so... But not to worry. We're going to get a new governor here in Florida, and he's going to make it all okay. He's going to make those nasty insurance companies lower our insurance prices. That's kind of what he's saying. Odd how he allowed them to put them up there where they are in the first place. But oh, you know, politics. Who was it? I'm trying to think who it was. Nikita Khrushchev, I think, said politicians. They'll build a bridge where there is no river, something like that. Anyway, you know, when it comes down to it, a lot of you that don't remember that far back in history, and I do. I remember old Khrushchev banging his shoe on the desk at the United Nations. We will bury you, and his trips to the farm with Nixon and all that. Actually, the guy had quite a sense of humor in reading about his private life from his son. I guess he had quite a sense of humor. We always looked at Khrushchev as this nasty, mean, no good, rotten commie bastard, but he did have a good sense of humor anyway, and that's always a good trait in a person. I have a good sense of humor, albeit a bit warped. My sense of humor goes toward the late great Sam Kinison and that sort of thing. Sam Kinison could make me laugh so hard that I'd hurt. But he's been dead now, what, about, I don't know, 7-8 years, something like that, maybe longer, I don't know. Son of a minister, Sam Kinison was. It's hard to imagine when you remember some of the comedy that he did. Anyway, we're not here to talk about comedy today. I do want to tell you about a late bulletin that probably a lot of you already know about. I just found out about it just a few minutes ago, and I thought I'd kind of lead off the program with it today. The chief of staff for the Republican congressman, and this is ABC reporting, Brian Ross again, chief of staff for Republican Congressman Tom Reynolds, Kirk Fordham. We talked about him yesterday. He resigned after questions were raised about his role in the handling of the congressional page scandal